What turns on a killer is the suffering and death of another human being. And as his determination builds to take another life, he plans in obsessive detail what props he'll bring, what knots he'll tie. Let me ask you guys something. What turns you on?
Welcome to Canvas and Crime, your ultimate destination for true crime and horror merchandise. Meet Elizabeth, the creative force behind canvasandcrime.com. She combined her passion for painting with her fascination for true crime and horror, giving birth to this unique shop.
You're looking for an intelligent white male, 20 to 30 years old, socially functional.
Are you a fan of serial killer memorabilia? You're in luck. Canvas and Crime has an incredible selection, from iconic mugs featuring notorious figures like Ted Bundy and the Zodiac Killer, to killer shot glass sets that showcase your favorite serial killers.
All I know to do is change your locks, tighten up your security, and pray.
But that's not all. You can also find custom prints of your most loved serial killer, adding a personal touch to your collection. For the most entertaining serial killer merchandise, look no further than canvasandcrime.com. Support a small business and dive into the chilling fun. Shop today, and don't forget to follow Canvas and Crime on YouTube as well.
Are you intrigued by conspiracy theories and the strange, dark, and mysterious? If so, we invite you to subscribe to our new podcast, The Truth Behind the Lies, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Do you love podcasts and classic television? Do you want to listen to Secrets Uncovered, the Truth Behind the Lies podcast and Rant Radio, completely ad-free? At Limitless Broadcasting Network, we bring you all your favorites like The Carol Burnett Show, Alfred Hitchcock Presents, and I Love Lucy without any interruptions. For just $7 a month and $80 a year, you can unlock over 90 hours of quality television and podcast programming. Don't miss out. Subscribe today at limitlessbroadcastingnetwork.com, where endless entertainment awaits.
We have 9/11. It kind of reminds me of when Pearl Harbor happened. Or because that was, the president knew Pearl Harbor was going to happen before it happened. And it was just an excuse for us to get into the war. Just well, like.
They knew that these planes were going to be hijacked well before they were hijacked.
Right. And people.
I'm not so sure.
The government that. And but they would get in trouble or they would get arrested if they tried to stop it.
Well, because they needed it.
Right.
And they're, you know, I personally. Could they have put those planes into the buildings? Absolutely. Do I believe the planes are what brought down the buildings? I do not. Do I think that there was something else added to these planes as they went in? Most likely. Or did they have, you know, directed energy strikes? Did they have missiles? Did they have bombs implanted in the planes as they were flown in? I think most of the passengers on these planes were incapacitated. There were reports. I can't remember which plane it was. This lady got a phone call out. And she said there was gas coming out of the vents. She was trying to call her husband, and she was talking about there was gas coming out of the vents and people were falling unconscious. So,
wow. I never heard any of that.
You didn't hear about that one?
No, I did not hear about that. Tell me more about that.
That was covered on Alex Jones's show.
Okay.
So, yeah, he's the king of covering the 9/11 conspiracies and stuff.
It's hard to find these days.
I think a lot of the 9/11 stuff
has been scrubbed out.
Absolutely. Just looking up stuff for this episode, you find a lot of debunked conspiracy theories. You can't really find anything that actually shows you a spot for true conspiracy theories. It'll give you a list, but it'll tell you the debunked.
Right.
You know.
Right. No, I agree 100%. Looking up this, trying to figure out like what's A to B, when the president knew stuff, when he didn't know stuff, just how the buildings fell. Well, I was watching a video. Demolition. It was steel can't melt, and don't you remember
steel when can they said, melt, but not but at a not certain, at that temperature.
Not at that temperature. So at a certain temperature, it will melt. But like when the plane hit it and they were like, all this fuel helped it melt. That's not true. It's not hot enough.
But they said that it got hot enough to weaken the steel. Okay, I'll give you that. If it weakened with the winds, it doesn't matter how calm a day it is. The wind that those buildings have hitting it at all times.
Oh, for sure.
If it weakened, it would have collapsed like that.
Right.
And it would have taken out. When all kinds of people in building, right? It wouldn't have come down
to the side since people can't see you, so it's going to collapse to the side.
It wouldn't have pancaked like that. You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't have come like
straight down. It would have collapsed to the side,
right? So, I don't buy it. I never have, and what most of the people who have heard these stories or were around during it don't believe it either,
right?
Well, it doesn't matter. You can prove any theory. If you throw enough money at it and find the right people to scream about it, you can prove any side of your story.
Absolutely. And
I believe that they have just found, you know, quack scientists who say that, you know, the planes themselves were the ones that took down the buildings. You
right.
know what I mean? Like the jet fuel and the paper and cardboard, whatever else was inside there, was enough to bring down those buildings.
Right. Are you fighting with your dog?
I am.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Is she trying to play with you?
While I'm on, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what my dogs try to do. So 9/11, what do you think their agenda was? Do you think it was overall the Patriot Act and then going into Baghdad?
I think it was a multi-faceted plan. I think that in order to get everybody on board with being able to do such a...
So you needed something to happen.
In order to do some kind of attack like that and to get people on... Because, I mean, we're talking about a domestic attack.
Right.
A very large domestic attack. We're not just talking about the Twin Towers. We're talking about putting the Pentagon into it. And then the other plane that went over, what was it, Pennsylvania that went down?
Yeah, there were supposed to be like four planes.
Yep.
One went over Pennsylvania. One was going, and then they said a plane hit the Pentagon.
Yep.
But did you hear the reporter say, there's no plane here? There's right. nothing. There's no Somebody plane live there. On plus, here saying that.
The hole where the plane supposedly went into the Pentagon was too small.
Right.
It's too small. There's no way that a Boeing 747 would have made that small of an impact.
Right.
Plus, we're talking about DC. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You There's mean no restricted way. Airfields there are in DC?
Do you if know you how come within a certain amount of miles, they'll shoot you down, regardless if you're a commercial airline or not.
Right.
You're getting shot down.
Absolutely.
So you're telling me a commercial plane made it that far without fighter jets being scrambled and being right alongside that thing and taking it down if they had to? No. Give me a
somebody,
break.
Somebody should have known about this. Like you
Everybody
can't
knew about it. We're talking about radar.
Right.
Just radar. Just primitive radar. Why, picked up why that damn plane when it was 300-400 miles away from it. They knew the trajectory it was on. They knew exactly where it was going.
Why do you think they didn't do that? Why did scramble jets and shot it down?
They did. I'm sure they did. That plane didn't hit the Pentagon. They used that as a distraction.
As a distraction for something else.
And had a missile strike that hit the Pentagon. That's the only thing that could have moved fast enough and create that kind of damage and get past our defenses and do the damage it did to the Pentagon. They used a smart bomb, a smart missile that went in there and just, boom, took it out. That was it.
Do you remember right after 9/11, any cameras, like any buildings, like if you're a 7-Eleven and you had a camera facing in there,
it was all confiscated.
Yeah, they went in there and confiscated all the video right after the attack.
Right.
And they did it to every store.
Yes, they did.
Why would they do that? Because they want something covered up.
They're afraid of what people might see or what might get released. And during that time period, you know, our technology wasn't what it is. There was no way to instantly share it.
Right.
Today, you could there's no way you could get away with
Facebook.
That. Right.
What was the poppin' social media platform back then? I don't even think we had one yet.
MySpace?
I think it was MySpace. Yeah. But I don't even think people were sharing this on MySpace.
No, there really wasn't much. Nobody was doing that kind of stuff, you know?
Right.
I mean, your cell phones, we still had, you know, one button scroll through your letters on top of the number to try and send a text.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely.
So, yeah, that was a different time period.
It's been confirmed that MySpace was the key social media back in those days. So thank you for the confirmation, Samantha. So I got a text. She was like, oh, it's MySpace.
Yep.
So can you imagine being in the building at this time? And like the people that were there.
Oh, yeah.
They were just like hopping out of the windows. What do you think their last thought was? Like, I'm going to die
one way or another. I'm going to die. So I'm going to go at my hands. Either I'm going to burn alive or I'm going to.
I'm assuming that's why people jumped.
Yep.
Because the fire was so. So it went into like the first plane got hit like the 52nd floor or the 60th floor. And the other plane hit like.
Well, see, here's the 25th
floor.
There wasn't really fire. You can watch any videos of that at all. You see some smoke,
right?
Because there is a little bit, but it's not like it was a roaring, you know, fire that was stopping people from getting out. Those planes hit stairwells. They hit elevators and stairwells. They block off those damn they blocked off the exit, so all those people were trapped.
Right. So before the actual attacks happened, I hear they were working on the elevators with armed guards around them, like days before it happened. And people are like, that's weird. Why do these technicians need all these armed guards around them? Why are they working?
So they could disable all the methods of escape for all these people.
Right.
You know, you can take down a building, but if you know, it's a tragedy if the building goes down, but it is a true disaster if the loss of human life is enormous.
Right.
You know, and what that's why
they want as much loss of life that day. Almost 3,000 people were killed.
Human life means nothing to these people.
Absolutely not. Nothing. We're both expendable. Highly expendable.
It's not just us both. It's everybody on this planet. There are the haves and then there are the have nots. They believe that they are entitled to everything, and we are
their slaves.
The serfs. You know, we are the ones that if you know that expression, in order to make an omelet, you have to break a few eggs. We're their eggs, and they don't care how many eggs they break. I mean, they just don't. That's where human resources comes from. You know,
right.
We're just a resource.
Right.
You know? We're the dumb breeders. You know what I mean? So.
Right. Right. No,
that's the way they look at us.
People in the building on 9/11, the people that got out, they kept saying they heard pops. Pop, pop, pop.
Uh-huh.
Before like big explosions happen.
Yeah, it's the explosions. It's the it was the explosives going off, getting ready to detonate the building so it could drop, taking out the support beams.
Absolutely. It happens at
any demolition.
If you look at like when they tore down the Wynn or the Stardust from the casino out in Vegas, it went down the same way the towers went down.
Yeah,
same identical thing. And then they say, no, a plane did this.
Nope. There's no way. And I mean, anybody who's a rational thinker, I mean, you don't even have to be the smartest person on the planet. If you just look at it logically,
right?
There's no way that makes sense to you. It doesn't matter how many times this is the definition of gaslighting. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And people that actually believe that this happened, I mean, I believe the tragedy happened. I believe the disaster happened.
Right.
That is not, but it's the method that they used to create this disaster.
Right.
And they did it to us. And our own government was complicit in doing this.
Well, it's not the first time the government has been complicit to do things like.
No, not at all.
In Cuba. They were trying to get us into war in Cuba. They were thinking about hijacking some bus and like killing a bunch of people and saying the Cubans did it. And that would have got us to go out to war with Fidel Castro.
Yep.
But for some reason, that didn't happen. Pearl Harbor was an inside job. They knew exactly when the bombs were going to be. I mean, that's confirmed to this day. What else? I mean, the list can go on and on that the... It kind of reminds me of what we did to the Indians. We were friends with them, and then we gave them all these blankets full of smallpox and everything, and we just wanted their land.
Right.
And so it's kind of something like that.
100% it is.
So what do you think the outcome has been from all this?
The Gulf of Tonkin, that was another one that got us into Vietnam.
Explain that one for the viewers.
For the viewers, Gulf of Tonkin?
Yeah.
It was a, let's see. Let me get it right. It's where the United States forces were carrying out covert amphibious operations on the North Vietnamese, and they were blaming it on others to get us into it.
Okay.
To get our involvement in Vietnam, because we were trying to stay out of it.
Right, we were trying to stay neutral.
Yep. It was kind of the same with World War II, you know? We were staying out of that one.
I know, and I agree.
Pearl Harbor hit, and we were in the war.
Yeah. And that they knew exactly if that happened, there would be an outcry of support. And then Americans, have you ever noticed if something happens to this country, we come together, Americans come together and want to fight.
Yeah.
That's one thing that they weren't counting on, especially with 9/11. The unity of being an American was so strong, especially after it went down. Oh, I'm a proud American, and everybody hanging up their flags. They counted on that.
They knew that. They knew that was going to happen. They knew that that was the perfect. They use predictive programming. They know exactly what it takes to push people to get the desired reaction that they want. They knew exactly what to do to get us right where they wanted us. We hook, line, and sinker agreed to the Patriot Act.
Oh, absolutely. You know what I mean? We begged for it.
We had that security now, but we gave up all kinds of liberties for it.
They can legally spy on us without warrants. Yeah, they can enter our property without warrants. If they think you're a terrorist, they can hold you indefinitely without going to court because of the Patriot Act.
Well, you got to really read these things because they can't just do this stuff, but it's real easy to classify you as something. It's real easy. I mean, you'd be surprised how loosely they use domestic terror. You know what I mean? They can put that title on anybody basically.
Well,
because it doesn't take very much to be called a domestic terrorist because all you are is
ties into the 9/11 as well.
Ish. Yes. He found out the truth about what was going on with the country, and then he decided he was going to do some rectification for it.
And that's how, right.
But, I mean, that's one version of it. The other version is he was an MK Ultra.
True.
You know, he was, what's the word I'm looking for? He was
a Manchurian candidate?
Well, under MK Ultra,
you can.
He go was one of the. They just used that kind of mind control programming, round him up, sent him in there, and let him do his thing. I mean, he was the perfect patsy for it.
Right. We definitely should do an episode on the Oklahoma City bombing because that indirectly ties into all of this. We'll see what you think.
Right.
There's so many, like, all these conspiracies are so convoluted. They're all interconnected.
Well, the problem with 9/11 was that so many people died for
greed.
It was greed. I mean,
it was over greed.
It was greed for some. It was over power control and, you know, the ability to spy on us all by some. It was over a family's, you know, butthurt philosophies, you know, that they wanted to get in there and get their name back, you know. Mm-hmm. But also there were items in Iraq that other power structures wanted control of.
Right.
You know, Iraq is supposedly... you know, had a working Stargate, and whoever has control of those Stargates has control of a lot of things. That's interdimensional travel right there.
Right.
Not to mention all the antiquities that proved where civilization began and where we came from. And the truth behind the Anunnaki. And
yeah, that's exactly right. You're talking about the Anunnaki.
And those who control that kind of stuff control the true power. I mean, greed and family vendettas and things like that, that's minor stuff. But it's when you get into the real things, the beginning of our species, you know?
Right.
Controlling the actual
world.
Controlling the implements that help these interdimensional beings go back and forth, you know?
Right.
That's a pretty profound power to have control of, and to have a working one. And I've heard that it's not the only working one, and there's a few of them in the world.
Where would be another one?
That was an easy one for us to get to, because it was already in a conflict area, so that was easy for us to get to.
Was that in the green zone?
Do what?
Was that in the green zone? I feel like it was. I feel like they made a movie that it was like looking for weapons of mass destruction, and they cleared it. But the reason why they went in there was because of the Stargate.
Oh, well, they've made movies about all kinds of stuff like that. But the only weapons of mass destruction were what was found in these libraries and in these museums, and the true information, you know, because the things that were there could have destroyed religion
and brought it down to his knees.
Religion is the main way to control the population.
Right.
I mean, they've been doing it for a millennia. So if you could topple religions by uncovering what was actually documented in their, you know, physically there, just needing to be shown to people, they're never going to let that out.
You know, absolutely what I mean?
There's no way. The churches make too much money and have too much control over people. And can you imagine what would happen to people if they were to find out that, you know, their belief system isn't exactly what they think it is? And I'm not here to argue theology with anybody like that. I mean, believe what you want to. That's a great thing about this world. You can believe anything you want. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, there are those who believe in that. What is it? The flying spaghetti monster thing. So
you lost me on that. This flying spaghetti monster. What's that?
What are they? Pastafarians?
I don't know.
Yeah. Let's see.
We don't know.
Yeah, Pastafarianism, also known as the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster.
I'm saying
you can believe in whatever you want.
Right, right.
But if there is proof of the origin, you know, the origination of our species in the Middle East, you know,
they're never going to let that out.
That's not going to be something that is ever going to see the light of day.
Absolutely not.
Not just that's like when they went to Egypt. Every time there's a major archaeological find in Egypt, the governments go in there first.
Right.
And they see what's there before it's allowed to be released to any museum or anywhere like that. Smithsonian is controlled by the government.
And it's very
Have so much stuff that'll never be seen by anybody.
Just like the Vatican does too.
The Vatican's archives are books.
I hear they have a working time machine that they can look into the past. They have goggles that you look in and you can see the past and what happened. And it's at the Vatican. They have things sealed off that they'll never bring up. You know?
I do know what you're talking about.
That came out couple years ago. A whistleblower came out and was like, yeah, there's a working time machine there. I can't remember what it's actually called.
Chronovisor.
Yes.
The chronovisor.
That you could look in the past.
Well, I'm not saying they do and I'm not saying they don't, but if they go through such trouble to debunk and make sure that we don't ever get the chance to see any of these things, you know, it makes me think that maybe there's some truth to it.
So you don't ever think there'll be a time where all this stuff, it just comes out and says, yep, aliens are real. Everything that we've came out and said is a lie. There's people on Mars. Well, we have bases on Mars. All this.
They're working on. I mean, there are some things that are coming out that they have to. It's just getting too hard to control. The way the genie is almost out of the bottle and they can't put it back in. They're starting to have to extraterrestrials. They're slowly starting to admit.
They're there. They're real.
They've told us for 100 years that, you know, there's no such thing as aliens. You know, don't believe this. Don't believe that. If they go back and completely say, you know what, hey, we lied to you. This is what we found. This is what's here. They lose all credibility. People will be in an uproar. Right. There's too many people that are too invested in it. You still have a large majority of the public that will believe hook, line, and sinker whatever the government tells them. And even the ones that do question a little bit are still in the back of their mind like, well, no, there's no way they would actually lie to us, you know, because they're our government. They're for us, you know, and we get new people in there. So how could they pop? Because everybody has a way to be controlled. Right. It doesn't matter who you are. If you make it into politics, they've got a way to control you. They're going to find a way to control you. They're going to find some way to gather incriminating evidence or get you in a compromising scenario.
Something. Everybody can be blackmailed.
And you are going to be under their control. And for most people, it's money. There's no way that these people go into public office, you know, barely rubbing two nickels together and coming out multimillionaires. Right. You know what I mean? Because
they're being paid to keep their mouth shut.
Well, not necessarily mouth shut. It's to push whatever line they want. Or it doesn't matter if it's pushing that, you know, 9/11 was, you know, a terroristic operation, and it was buildings were brought down by planes, and Building 7 was brought down by, you know, a piece of paper was on fire and caught the right draft and blew through the window and came down. You know, it started. Who knows?
What did they
can always find somebody to do that.
What did they say about Building 7 and why it came down?
They obfuscated that one. They never really gave anything.
But people just filled in the blanks and they were like, well, obviously something happened.
Yeah.
Nobody pushed that topic.
It was pushed, but it wasn't pushed on. If it was pushed on like the news or something like that, it was always shifted to another topic real quick.
Right.
You were always cut off. You were always spoken over, you know. Nothing was ever, the only time it was ever talked about or pushed was through, you know, a conspiracy related show or somebody who was trying to bring upon a different topic or different narrative. Viewpoint. Yeah.
Right.
So,
but they would always make that person look crazy because they're just like, this can't be real. This is what the government said has happened. But if you look at the whole cold hard facts, it just doesn't add up.
Well, and that was the thing with Alex Jones. I mean, Alex Jones has a lot of very, very good information on these topics. He put in a lot of legwork on it. Problem is, he's a very eccentric person, and he got wrapped up. You know what I mean? He gave him an inch to run on with him being crazy, and it discounted everything he all the true things he brought up before. But this guy.
Subscribe now to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com to finish listening to the episode ad-free.
You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Hi, I'm Doug Jones, but you are listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast.
All it takes is faith and trust. Oh, and something I forgot. Dust. Just a little bit of pixie dust.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing, that it was all started by a mouse.
To live. To live will be an awfully big adventure.
Some imagination, huh?
Good day, mate. I'm Mary Kate.
And I'm Ashley.
Samantha?
I don't even know it's Samantha.
Danny boy, where are you?
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here, and welcome to Muppet Vision 3D.
I may be dead, but I'm still pretty.
Oh, come on, Gar. We're here. Happiest place on Earth.
Shall we begin?
Welcome, Pixie Dusters. We're your favorite hosts. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Ashley. Welcome to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Don.
Yay!
And of course, we are produced by Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Yes, make sure you check out our social media. We've got YouTube Shorts, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok.
Yes, we also got a website, www.limitlessbroadcasting.com, where not only can you find all things podcasts and merchandise for us, mm-hmm. but you can find all the other podcasts that we have. And I even saw some, we announced some new ones. So mm-hmm. go check out all the different types.
Yes.
An array.
Yeah, there's genres. Streaming, podcasts, the interviews that we've been doing, all of that will be totally up on the website. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely.
Guys, it's May.
Yeah.
It's Star Wars month.
It is. Yes.
It's a good month.
Mm-hmm. And my birthday month.
Yeah.
Your birthday? What's a birthday?
My birthday.
What day?
Birthday.
There we go. What day is your birthday? For
the 12th.
The 12th. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The 12th.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. And Sammy's anniversary is this mm-hmm. month.
Okay.
Sammy and Robbie's. Yep,
about a week.
And so is mine and mm-hmm. Brett's.
Yep.
We got Mother's Day coming up. There's just a lot in May.
There's a lot
Memorial
going on.
Day.
Yep.
Dan, do you have anything going on this month, like other than like the norm? Do you guys have any family?
Technically, I also have an anniversary coming up of the year I met Aurora.
I was going to say.
So. That's yes. true, because you met her after my wedding.
Day after your wedding. Yeah,
yeah, so, wow. And all then, the May things. Yeah,
a lot of wow. things. Mm-hmm. Also, I am an all uncle twice now, so that's a thing.
Oh,
yeah. My sister
yay.
Just had her second child.
Yeah. Boy or girl?
What's up?
Boy or girl?
Boy. She has two boys now.
What? Yep. Two boys? Okay. Yep.
Ryan and Jackson.
Aww. Oh, what a yeah. handful. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love mm-hmm. it. See, May is just a great month for us Pixie
Dusters.
It Dusters.
Is a good month. So I do like May.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because what other anniversary
it's
do we have?
It's our anniversary of the podcast. Yes. Yeah. Yay! First episode, May 11th, 2020, which I can't believe it.
Six years
ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't believe we've been doing this for six years.
I know. I'm like, are we sure? Was it really 6 years? It's just crazy. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I guess it feels that long and it also doesn't feel that long. It's like one of those weird time things.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's not work. Like,
right.
It doesn't feel like 6 years because it's not work. It's fun. We
right.
get to sit here
really
and chat with
hang
our
out.
Best
really,
friends.
Yeah, it's
exactly.
Just, it's a
yeah.
reason for us to hang out.
Yes, you know? Exactly.
Yeah, and it's stuff that we love to talk about. Yeah. We rarely talk about stuff that we don't like. And when we don't like it, we rant, mm-hmm. which is fun
I was going to say, it's still a good time with
yeah.
the rant
yeah,
episodes.
It's still a great time. So
it's still fun.
So that, you know.
Yes.
The only time I feel like it's work is when I'm... Like, it's like a day before and I forget that I haven't watched anything. So I'm like, I still got to watch.
Literally me, like yeah. almost every time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Aren't you so happy I didn't make you watch anything this month?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm not complaining. No.
Yeah. No, I was.
I will say, though, next year we are talking about Shadow Mall. It is amazing. It's a 10-part animated 30-minute series about Darth Maul. And Brett and I have been watching it every week. And holy crud. Mm-hmm. It is beautiful.
Okay,
cool. We will be talking
we'll
about
put
that
it on the list.
He's a great character. Yes. He's got a lot going on. So
I probably will like that.
Oh my gosh.
Anything written about him is going to be good.
Yeah, I won't complain about watching that.
Yeah.
Well, and we get to see a little bit of like how he started as the apprentice mm-hmm. for Sidious. And like, it almost is starting to give us some like of his, I can't say human because he's alien, but like, human quality.
He's very complex. Oh, he is mm-hmm. very
good.
Complex. Like he's had a
so
lot.
Good.
He had a lot of his own, and you saw a lot of this in both the Clone Wars and Rebels too. But
mm-hmm.
yeah, he's always had his own desire and his own motivations, and he's done a lot of really bad stuff. But like, as bad as it is, you still feel bad for him,
right?
Yeah, Filoni and Sam Witwer have just like taken what we had in Clone Wars mm-hmm. and Rebels and just amplified it, and it's
that's good.
There's still two more episodes, like the finale's on the 4th.
Okay. Oh, smart!
I'm so interested to see how this will mm-hmm. how this will end. Mm-hmm. It's I know it's on mm-hmm. the 4th.
That's all right.
Ms. Forthbilith, mm-hmm. This is my month, people. You
of
know
course.
It.
Of course.
It's May. The lusty month of
it's
May.
It's May. Yeah, everyone's singing it's going to be May. All and right. I'm like, psh, what are you talking about? This is the May. May the 4th be with you. Like, this is not in sync month. I'm sorry.
And that's still a great meme. Wrong. Though.
It is very funny it every is. Year. Yes.
It mm-hmm. is.
I do enjoy it.
Yeah.
There's been a couple cute ones.
There was,
I saw a golden retriever one. It was cute.
The best version of the NSYNC meme is the one I saw where I forget how they worded it, but it basically said like, it did the whole roses are red, something is something in a few uh-huh. months. It's going to be, but it was literally just a picture of like hardened macaroni, like pre-cooked macaroni. And somebody commented, there's so many layers to this meme. There's so much lore to this meme.
That
if you haven't grown up with it, you're not going to get it. Because right. we all know, yeah. we all get it, right?
Yes.
Oh, we all get yeah. it.
Yes. That's hilarious. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. I love yes. that.
Oh, that's beautiful. Oh,
I also like the Timberlakes poor, leaned into
poor
it.
Timberlake.
Too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Poor Timberlake.
Never going to get over that hair.
And I was. Mm-mm. Never. I was watching a reel of him recently, and they were interviewing him about that song and how he says me. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I actually did sing it in the first, like, in when we were learning it, I sang it with me mm-hmm. and not May. And apparently the writers or whoever was producing was like Swedish or some sort of European
right.
over
I heard
there.
That.
And they're like, no, this is not, that's not how it's going to be May. Like how they say me over there in English sounds May, apparently. They're like, it right. goes better with the song. And that's why it ended up
it's
being
great.
The way it is.
It's great.
It's like
okay. we've literally just seen folklore in action just evolve.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Over mm-hmm. over 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Oh God. So long.
Yeah.
So
oh,
long.
Man. That's crazy.
Yeah. There was also a reel of like songs that are turning 20 in 2026. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, my heart. High school, like photograph
yeah.
from Nickelback is 20 mm-hmm. years this year.
That was 06?
Year.
Some reason I thought it was 09.
That was 06? Wow. Nope.
No, that was
06
that
because
Ed.
That was the most popular graduation song.
Yeah.
The only reason we didn't use that graduation song is because we wanted to honor like a classmate
yes.
that we
lost. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But no, I remember that distinctly. Yeah. Last year of wow. high school. Mm-hmm. Being,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
I remember that song yeah. for oh, yeah. sure. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think The Adventure by Angels and Airwaves came out in that year too. That was, it's one of my favorites. It's less popular,
yeah.
but it's one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love Angels and Airwaves. They were so good.
So good.
Yeah. So my good. Brother turned me on to them. My yeah. brother always found like the most obscure bands that were not a thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we'd listen to them. And then like a couple years later, people
then
all of a sudden
a
knew who they were.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, Travis, you have this thing for like finding
you have a skill
or like hidden talent.
Yes. Tom DeLonge is such a weird guy, but like finding a band like that, it's like, yeah, like I discovered it and I was like, we go from pop punk and talking mm-hmm. about like pranks and pantsing people and whatever mm-hmm. to just this mm-hmm. artsy, this artistic just out there. Like, I don't know. It,
right.
Mm-hmm. It's good. It's all good. It's all really good. But it just, yeah. it threw everybody off. At least mm-hmm. I feel like that. It's like, wait, the guy who did that also did this?
It yeah. really did. I remember mm-hmm. those times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he's meeting aliens and talking to God and having this like ego death out of body experience or whatever. Like to this day, I can still listen to it and be like, mm-hmm. wow, he was doing something.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mushrooms probably, but
oh,
you know,
gosh.
Whatever.
I mean,
back then,
it's
yeah.
Possible. It's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, goodness. Joy. All right. Well, Pixie Dust Twins, in good old fashion, you know, when we do an anniversary episode, we like to look back on the past year on all the different stats and what we mm-hmm. loved and what we all the things. So Sammy's going to take it away for that.
I
one.
Am. Yes. So the first stuff that I pulled, I was just curious in the last year. What were our more popular mm-hmm. episodes? Kind of get an idea, you know, of what people were listening to that was like probably a little bit more recent that we put out, right?
Yeah.
So probably not too surprising, but Taylor Swift the Eras Tour was the most popular one.
I knew that was going to
yes,
be the most popular
I was like,
one.
I see it.
We found the Swifties.
I see it. I see it. Yeah. But then interestingly, Firefly was the next one.
Yeah.
Which right. I was like, very cool.
Honestly, I bet it's because of the resurgence of that what's helped.
I think it probably did.
Yeah. I think it did.
Because I don't know when this, if this was more recent, or if it was when we first spread it out. But I thought that was very fun too. And then we actually had some of our Mary Kay and Ashley episodes. Yeah. Yeah, nice. Our
those
lips are
fun.
Sealed.
Those are really fun.
Yeah, Password to Paris. Yeah. Those are the most popular ones. And I was like, oh, yay. Because those were fun and different for us to do. I love it. Yeah. And then, of course, like Buffy. Buffy season 1, Buffy season 5 were the most listened to.
Okay. Yeah,
and
that
I was
makes
like,
sense.
I could see it. Realistically, yeah. I'm like, I get you. And then Agatha week 5. Which I think was our last week of Agatha, if I'm remembering right. I think that would have been our last week.
Yeah,
that was the most popular one. So I guess people will, were more interested in the finale than they were anything else that we talked about with Agatha, which I thought was funny. And then what was, and in the top 20, this is an older episode from 24, but you and I, Ashley, did an episode, Are They Ruining Epcot? That one apparently got a little bit of a boost in the last year. And that just made me laugh.
Are they ruining it? God, I forgot about that episode.
Yes, and I was like, we didn't do that. And then I looked at the date and I was like, oh, we didn't do that. That was, not 25, that was 24. Yeah. But yeah, people probably still think so. So yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. And the funny thing is we actually did an Epcot episode in 25.
Yeah, but it didn't beat this one. Didn't beat this one.
It did not beat.
No.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
Yes, yeah, that just cracked me up. Yeah. And then I did pull like the lowest, episodes just out of curiosity for the last year. And it's really interesting to me. People are still listening to some of our very first episodes from 2020. So we've got the Animal Kingdom, Magic Kingdom favorites, Why We Love Disney, How to Survive a Day at the Park, Epcot favorites, Disney Hollywood Studios favorites, Disney Springs, water parks, and more. All of those are still getting listens. And I thought that was interesting because, 6 years has passed. There's still a lot of info in there. I feel like it's still relevant that we talked about.
Yeah, there is still a lot of relevant info.
I could see it. But I was like, oh, people are still listening to them, though. So I was like, okay.
Guys, thanks.
Okay, friends. That's nice. Yeah.
Well, I think there's a lot of resurgence on like people wanting to know more about the parks and listening about the parks.
I think you might be right. Yeah.
Because people are just like, what is the best? And I think this is something we're going to have to revisit again. What is the best way to do Disney? Mm-hmm. And I want to wait until after my family comes down in June. I'm thinking this is a 2027 after my trip, so I can like redo everything and kind of see if there's things we should change. But I mean, that is a huge thing because people want to know what's the best way to do Disney.
I think
because of prices and all the different
and
things.
And if we could maybe try and focus on ways to do it without being forced to spend a bunch of money on lightning lanes and whatnot, I think that would be a good focus too, because
those
people are getting priced out.
My family my family does not do lightning lanes. Mm-hmm. That is not something we do. Granted, Brett and I did do one day of lightning lanes on our honeymoon, but that was because we wanted to do Rise of Resistance. Mm-hmm. Not Rise of Resistance. When do we do it? Oh, we did it at Magic Kingdom because we were so sick of all of the parents not parenting their children and all of the crying people. We're like, we want to get this over.
We're going to do a lightning lane day.
We're doing lightning lane day.
Yes, I could see that. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. So then I went back and I just pulled overall our most popular episodes, and the princesses episode we did way back in 2020 is actually still the most popular one.
Which princess
Disney,
episode? We did a couple.
Disney classic princesses. So I'm guessing this episode is one where we talked about, probably like Cinderella, Snow White.
This was Snow White to Jasmine.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's what I thought. So.
Sorry, I'm in our old.
Thank you.
Our old
no,
script,
for pulling that.
Folders.
Yeah, so that was just interesting to me. I'm like, people still like the princesses. They're still Still into that episode. Yeah, exactly. And then beyond that, a lot of the episodes we did in 2023 where we did the weddings, engagements, Disney romantic moments, those are
still popular.
Yep. And the Indiana Jones, that entire month, some of the most popular episodes we did.
It was a great month. It was a great month.
Yes.
That was a beautiful
month. So I was like, oh, those are good choices, guys. Good job. Good job. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you guys like those. Yes. Much approved.
I'm noticing something, though. There, like, a lot of our more popular episodes are when we're talking about stuff that is not, like, not as much media.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have some media popularity, but it's, like, more real life and things that are parks and those types of things. So
well, probably because, like, I mean,
interesting.
Yeah, Disney. There's very difference between big difference between Disney fans and Disney park fans. I feel like a lot of, there is overlap,
this
but
is
like,
true.
Yeah,
parks are like very specific types of people. Mm-hmm. Most people are just gonna be like, I can't afford to go to the parks, but I can afford to consume the content.
Yeah, it really cost watch Disney Plus and Disney whatnot. Plus
and all the things we grew up on that's not Disney, but it's like it still resonates. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm not surprised by that Olsen Twin one. Like I was surprised how much fun I was having.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it was a good time.
So
rewatching all those, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know how to pick them.
Mm-hmm. You do.
Yeah, no judgment when you give suggestions. That's why we agree to them for sure. What was the other one I thought was funny? Oh, and our top 20 is a Star Wars holiday special, just so you know. That was one that stuck out to me.
Yeah.
It's in the top 20. Yeah.
Whip star, baby. Whip star. Let's go. That's what it's all about right there.
Mm-hmm. One of the worst things I've ever watched, but a lot of fun when we recorded that episode. Yeah.
And that's probably why people listen to our episode. Totally. It's like they know how bad it is, so they want to hear what we think.
Yes.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Best thing you can do is watch something terrible and then watch your friends react to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's all share about how terrible it is.
Yes. Mm-hmm. No, I agree. Yeah. Oh,
Chewie's dad watching Wookiee porn. It's all great. It's all great.
I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm. Can't beat the Wookiee. Yeah. You know what? I don't want to get into it. No, that's fine.
Yeah, let's not.
No, and in,
I don't need those nightmares
anyway,
again.
Anyway,
Whipster.
Oh, God. That's going to be my brain all day now.
I just want to see if Robbie's going to clip it in the recap. Whipster, because he always does.
I'm going to make
sure. Anytime I bring that up, he'll still clip it.
I'm going to make sure that makes it into a reel just for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fine.
Anyway, so I did pull the countries too. Of course, United States is our biggest country, right? Yeah. Next one is Vietnam.
Really?
So, that's shout
out to the I don't know where you came from, but shout out to you guys. Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and then Japan is the third.
Nice.
I was just like, what? Very cool.
Wow.
Okay. I don't think Vietnam or Japan were in our list.
I don't think
year.
So
not,
either.
No.
Or at least not this high up. So I don't know what happened, but
shot last year
up
was
there.
Like mostly European countries, right? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think so. I think France was like in there.
I'm trying to.
I don't know. Was France on?
I don't think you did notes for ours.
I may
last
not
year
because
either.
This is easier for me to do like screenshots and stuff the night before. But yeah, I thought that was really interesting.
That's awesome.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, hello.
Yeah, hello, everybody.
I wish I knew how to say hello.
I was thinking that this morning. I was like, I don't know any Japanese or Vietnamese. I'm sorry, you guys.
Is konnichiwa how you say hi in Japan?
It's definitely a Japanese phrase, but I don't know what it means.
I know, but I don't know what it means.
I don't know.
I'm so sorry, guys. Yeah. Teach us
your
konnichiwa, ways.
Konnichiwa, if that means something nice and friendly, like hello or thank you or something.
I love that because I know a lot of things that I love are from Japan. Uh-huh. Like right. I'm a huge Pokemon fan. I'm a huge Sailor Moon fan. Mm-hmm. Mario, Super Nintendo with Mario and all his games.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Love you guys.
Yeah,
thank
you.
you gave me a lot of my childhood.
Yeah.
Really deep. I mean, just some of the best storytelling just between like video games and like anime in general. Like it goes so deep.
Yeah.
With that level of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like
yep.
It's pretty incredible. Mm-hmm. Pretty great.
No, I agree.
Rock on Japan, man.
I mean, yeah. Thank you. All right. So something else we should celebrate is that on May 4th, 2021, somebody made their debut on the podcast. It was Dan, in case you didn't figure that out. Yes.
This is 50th anniversary.
I know, it's like 5 years. Yay. 5 years. Yeah. Yep. Wow. Yep. May the 4th be with you. A Star Wars history. First episode that he popped up.
I would argue it's been 4 years and 1 month, because technically I wasn't a regular until the second year, until 2022.
So I did pull that too. So I was like, let's look at this. So actually, so in 2022, you came back because we did a summer of Star Wars. Because Ashley was like, we're going to do an entire summer and watch like all the Star Wars things. And we did. So you were back for all of those episodes, and then you disappeared again because we went back and did parks and whatnot. You weren't there, but.
Well, you might've been scared. You might've been scared.
Halloween, I was probably scared. Yeah. It was right after summer. I was probably scared.
So I think because you weren't around for the Christmas episodes or anything, but I was like, it makes sense. But in 2023, that's when we did Indiana Jones. And then
he started back.
And then he just stuck with that. The only things he missed then was he didn't do the romantic. I'm so sorry if you can hear Lucifer right now. He is driving me nuts. He didn't do the romantic episodes like the wedding and all that. And then you were right back when we started Marvel, and then you just stuck because we went into Harry Potter, and then you just were with us until you couldn't do it because you were busy doing the scare acting. So
okay, we'll say collectively 4 years.
Close enough.
Yeah. We can do that. Anniversary.
They're more like guidelines anyway. You know, years.
Yes.
We're like guidelines and actual rules.
Yes. You know. Yes. Mm-hmm.
What is time? Time's not even real anyway. So
no, it's
fine.
It's really not.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, I'm not gonna lie. When I asked you to like jump on for Star Wars that 1 year, I never expected you to end up being with us forever, and I'm so happy you are.
No. Me too. Yeah. It was great. Yeah, it worked out very well.
It did. We found our missing link.
We did. Yes. Yes. Now y'all don't have to just listen to me and Ashley babble on about whatever.
We have someone to keep us in check.
So that's really all I had. Oh my goodness. I'm so sorry.
What is wrong with you today?
I don't know.
Is he okay?
He's needy.
The devil cried.
Is he not getting enough love? Are you not snuggling him like you should be?
I don't know what we're doing. I don't know what our problem is. I have no idea. But it's fine. I'll pet him and see if he'll chill out after we calm down a little bit.
Oh, poor guy.
I know. He's just a very needy dog. You know, now he's old. He's an old man, right? You're an old man now because you're 6.
I know. I have to I need to talk to my vet and see if I actually need to change to the food that's 6 and up. Because they don't have what I want in 6 and up for my dog.
Oh, so I'm okay. Gotcha. What do you normally feed her? What do you feed her now?
I feed her Health Science Diet, but it's a light calorie food, so that because she doesn't get as much exercise as a normal spaniel because she's in an apartment. Right. Mm-hmm. Light calorie helps kind of keep her not fat. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I figured.
But they don't have that in 6 and up. So I got to talk to my vet and see what I should do, because I don't want to get fat again.
Mm. Okay.
Because until we finally find out the rent, it's hard to take her out all the time, especially since we live on the second floor. Mm. Going up and down those stairs.
I can imagine. Yeah, I have a much easier time. Mm-hmm. Just away. Go in the yard. And that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Little simpler.
Mm-hmm. Oh, goodness. What do we normally talk about now? I can't remember.
With what? I guess sometimes we'll talk about what we're going to do. Upcoming
things we got planning.
I'm looking at our 2021... we actually had a
that's probably the last time I did one.
let's see here. We did our favorite episodes list, and then we did acknowledgements. Yeah. So we didn't really do anything else.
That's insane. There's not usually a lot to these little, yay, we're 6 years old, you know.
Yay, we've been here.
Well, they don't have to be. It's just, it's a nice little acknowledgement, a nice little hey, you got 30 minutes to kill. Listen to us ramble on about how great we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're the best.
Yeah.
Well, And I mean, if we're looking at from like May to April, I'm trying to think like what my favorites we did then would have been, because I don't know. I mean, I loved doing the gravy. Joss Whedon summer.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that was a lot of fun.
And Agatha All Along was a surprise for me. I did not think I would like that show, and I very much did.
Good. I still haven't seen it.
You should watch it.
I probably should.
You should. You would
honestly,
enjoy it.
You should.
It was actually an enjoyable Marvel show.
All right, good, good.
Because it's not very like Marvel-y, you know? It's different.
No, not at all.
I like that. That's where we are now. Yeah. It's a great Marvel show because it's not Marvel-y. Mm-hmm. It's like, I love fish, but I hate that fish taste.
Yeah. Exactly. There you go.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
What else did we talk about last year?
We had our Robin twins. Williams month at the beginning of the month, and we had the Olsen twins in March.
I mean, it was a lot of good episodes.
Which, of course, you know, was my favorite. We had a good month. I mean, I even enjoyed some of our... We did Wolverine last year for
Oh, Marvel right. We caught up on those.
I watched all of those.
Oh, yeah. No, that was a long one. We did like all the Wolverine movies. I remember that because I remember I watched Logan, and I rarely watched Logan. And I remembered why I rarely watched Logan, because I was depressed and I couldn't see that.
Yeah. Very sad movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. We caught up last year too. We did Inside Out 2, Elemental, Wish.
Encanto, was that last year?
I don't know. I don't see Encanto.
Maybe that was the year before. I'll blend.
I think it was 24.
They blend together. I can't really.
They really sometimes. Do. We did updates on all of the
I know
parks.
We did that.
Pretty sure we ranted about a couple parks.
Epcot.
You know. Yeah. Epcot. I'm just so sad because Epcot, like the countries, great. If you're listening, go look at the countries. But I'm sorry, I don't like what they did with the front. I mean the Moana thing is cute, you know, whatever, but there's no educational element to it anymore. Like that was supposed to be literally the educational park for kids. Like we had the world for them to learn about different cultures, and then the front was supposed to learn about other things, whether it's technology or safety or whatever it was at the time, and they ruined it.
What's we talked about, but what's there now? Like what's replaced?
Nothing. It's just scenery.
Okay, no. There's a Moana like walk through water thing, which is very cool. I would not call it overly educational. It has some educational elements to it.
Okay.
But that's there. They have a meet and greet with Mickey and friends and a shop and a Starbucks. And a
we still have the Coke store.
Really
they made that bigger.
Like it's not like
no, it's not like Innovations where you could walk in and you could I remember in the 90s and early 2000s, there was activities to teach you how to get out of a house when you were in a fire, taught you like a bunch of safety stuff, taught you how to count money, what the importance of a bank is, like
I don't remember that.
Actual real life things that this generation needs.
Yeah, and Innovations. Yeah, it was all sciencey and just like she's got education
a lot
like that.
Science-based things. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
science and like Ashley a lot of creative things. I remember is the world of imagination was very different than what it is now.
Yes,
I remember
ruined.
That. And I remember.
Oh,
yeah, I remember they took you through like a whole imagination thing, and then afterwards, there's like a whole area where you can go. I don't remember details. I just remember like there's like a console, and I would like press a button, and then it would appear on a big screen across from me.
Yeah.
And like you build a whole bunch of things and you make it into like a face or you make it into an animal, or you make it into whatever. And you have a time limit. And by the end of it, it gets like there's this voice that says, all right, that's enough now. It's time for the grand finale. And then like the thing you made comes alive and does this weird dance. And I remember that. And
Colortopia.
Is that what it was? Is that what it was called?
I just found an old map.
Okay.
Yes.
Colortopia.
So I guess the downfall of Epcot, and we didn't know this at the time, started, I think, when they ruined the Figment ride. And then it just
seems about right.
Continued to snowball because then, you know, they just kept coming up with new ways to fix it.
Yeah.
How is Guardians of the Galaxy
Epcot
educational?
Stick it in the studios. Why is it here?
You already have made a mess of the studios. Just stick it over there. The studios
has no concept to it. So
did you hear that? I don't know if it's a rumor or if it's true. I think it's true. They are deconstructing Guardians of the Galaxy in Disneyland and putting back Tower of Terror.
I heard people were really mad about them retheming it, so that wouldn't surprise me.
Honestly, good. Tower of Terror is based. Like, it's one of the best rides.
1,000 times better! It's so good.
Oh, my goodness.
It doesn't make you sick. It doesn't give you lawsuits.
I don't get it.
Whoa, wait, was the Guardians of the Galaxy doing that?
Well, the one here definitely does that.
Okay. The one in Florida at least has had one civil lawsuit on, like, what was it? Someone who normally doesn't have seizures all of a sudden had a seizure or something of that nature.
It's an intense ride, from what I understand.
Yeah. It's bad.
But that didn't replace our Tower of Terror, though, right? That was just Disneyland.
No.
We got a separate ride completely over here.
Okay. There would have been riots.
Yeah.
Riots, if that happened.
Here's the thing too, like, so because we talked about the studios, let's just complain, you know, why not? So the studios is adding in the animation courtyard, which I was like, yes, thank you, very excited for this.
We're going back to
I know they're going to put the animation like academy in there so you can sit and learn how to draw a character.
Yes,
but it's not going to have a real cast member teaching you. Olaf, a little animatronic Olaf or projection or some crap, is going to stand up there and teach you how to draw a character. And everybody's like, what is the point in this?
I'm sorry, what?
Where's the cast member that you should have there, which is part of the fun, is having a real life cast member there teaching you to draw? No, Olaf's going to be like, hey, cast member on the screen, animator on the screen, why don't we draw Pluto or whatever? You know, buddy.
Holy, it's so dystopian.
Lucy's mad about it, too. I know.
That's so dystopian.
Lucifer's like, this is stupid.
It's stupid, but it's creepy, too. It's creepy and it's depressing. It's like you go into this magical thing where you can learn a thing to better yourself, and it's a freaking robot teaching you.
It makes me so mad.
And it's like a robot of your favorite character. It's not even your favorite character. It's a replica of your favorite character.
Yeah, I don't know if it's an animatronic or just like a, you know, like it's an animation. I really don't know what it is because I got mad reading about it. But
That's even worse. Animation's even worse. It's like, it's not even a physical robot. It's a digital robot that shows up and tells you how to do stuff. Yeah, let's just separate human interaction even more. Why not? Yeah, that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not happy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just, it bothers me.
The problem is that is the type of stuff that this generation of kids likes. They want that.
Well, stop it.
And not real humans. Because I know, I'm not. Do you think I agree?
No, I know.
Because what, and I'm not a parent, so. Take this with a grain of salt, but all I see is parents putting screens with characters in front of their faces instead of having them interact with real human beings.
That's true.
And that's the problem.
It's sad. I mean, look, screens are a part of our culture one way or another. Like, there's no getting away from it, but like, there's regulations that exist for a reason. There's a reason we don't let a 5-year-old drive a car. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yes.
You know, it's the same deal. Like, agreed. Yeah. And too many parents are letting their 5-year-olds drive their cars, metaphorically speaking.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
I just listened to someone who was presenting a study, and he did the work, and he had no grants. He did it on his own accord, about how as soon as one-on-one technology entered the classroom, not just in America, in a lot of different countries, he looked at 80 different countries.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As soon as one-on-one technology entered the classroom, education plateaued and test scores went down.
Wow.
Really?
This generation of kids, Gen Z and below, are the first generations who are not beating the previous generation out on their IQ scores, on their test scoring. Like, We are smarter than the generations below us. At the moment.
I did see that, which is, this is the, like you said, this is the first time.
And it's a legit study. It's not somebody just pan, whatever right. the word is, pan-randing, whatever. It is a legit study. Mm-hmm. And if our school systems, if our people, if our parents don't try to start changing this, our world is just going to continue to get dumber and dumber, and we are literally going to turn into Wall-E. Mm-hmm.
It's sad.
Thankfully, hopefully we're dead before that happens, because I would not want to do that.
Right.
But
mm-hmm. yeah,
it's mm-hmm. sorry. I'm on a rant this morning.
We just went off, you know,
hey, we got time to fill, man. We might as well.
Yeah. That's what this is for. It's just, we can talk about whatever we want.
We're freestyling it today.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Oh, I was trying to find, so I found that old map of Epcot, which I found the color spectra, which I totally forgot mm-hmm. about. So that's cool. Mm-hmm. I found the new one finally. We kept Spaceship Earth after like all of us fighting for it because they wanted to get rid of it. Mm. Don't mess with our stuff, people. Us Disney World people, we crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We know where you are.
Yes, exactly.
But like, instead of the Electric Umbrella, which was a great name, mm-hmm. we have Connections Cafe,
which
Connections Eatery,
which, I mean, it's generic. It doesn't have that.
It's too generic.
You know, Disney, one of the complaints about Disney is that it doesn't have that same unique spark to it. Everything is starting to become more generic. You know, you look at the World of Disney, you look at, you know, what we used to have at Epcot for the store, for the food. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, Mouse Gear was so unique and it's not anymore.
So I'm not crazy. I remember being a kid, because I didn't go to Disney that often. But when I did, like, going to Disney felt like a whole other thing. It felt like when you were at Disney, you were at Disney. It was like everything was special. Everything was tailored. Everything was exclusively going out of its way to say you are not anywhere else. You are at Disney World. Everything is different. It doesn't feel like that now. Even just going to like it's not even downtown Disney. What's it called
Disney
now?
Disney Springs.
Disney Springs. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Going to that.
No, like, it's downtown Disney. Just call it what it
downtown
is.
Downtown Disney. Right. But even going there, it was like, I could have been going to strip mall. Like, it felt like that strip mall that just had some Disney merch in it. That's what it felt like.
Yeah. It's not the same.
Yeah. The new area sucks.
Yeah. It's not the same. It doesn't have that whimsy that the marketplace, well, the marketplace still kind of has it to a certain extent, but the marketplace plus the West Side plus, you know, Pleasure Island. Yeah.
Oh God, don't get me started.
But you know how many times I look at like Splitsville, and I like Splitsville, don't get me wrong, but I'm like, remember the Virgin Megastore? Wow. Going upstairs.
Oh, I got some great.
Anytime I go up the escalator in Splitsville, I'm just like, oh, remember Virgin Megastore? I miss you.
Where's my music and my books?
I mean,
they had books.
They did. Yeah. They had magazines and books and
spent hours in that store in college, like, because I mean,
so fun, right? Like on vacation, that would be a thing. Like, we're like, okay, today we're gonna go hit up the Virgin Megastore, and I'm like, this is great.
And I didn't have Disney passes as a kid, so like as a broke college student, that was one of the few things that us non-Disney kids could do.
Yes,
you know, for free. All we had to do was pay for parking, and we'd be good. Mm-hmm. You know.
No, you didn't have to pay for parking. Parking was Disney. Free.
Okay, well, there you go. Yeah.
Downtown Disney, all of that's always free parking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we did as college students. Absolutely. Like, even me, before I had my pass, because I couldn't afford it without the pass that my parents got me for Christmas, we all went to Downtown Disney. Oh, my gosh. Now, do you remember Disney Quest?
Yes.
I remember the name. I forget what it is.
Disney Quest was an interactive, like, how do I take Dave and Buster's and times it by 1,000? Like, and it was multi-level.
Yeah, I can't remember how many floors there were, but it was
three or four.
Yeah. Yeah. They had all sorts of interactive games that you could play. Right. Oh my gosh.
Artistic things. Yep. Like, there was a cafe. It was amazing. So they replaced it with stupid, I don't know what they replaced
it with.
It was
the NBA experience, which it was barely open, and then COVID came, and then it never reopened. So
So that is being replaced now by something called Level 99.
Yeah, that's the new thing they're putting in there,
which apparently is like a modern version of Disney Quest.
I don't know. We'll see.
Offering over 60 themed challenge rooms, mm-hmm. duels, and art hunts that will test your mental and physical prowess. Mm-hmm. So it's an immersive gaming venue. Mm-hmm. So it's supposed to be a modern Disney Quest.
We'll see.
I will believe it when I see
it. I know. I don't have high hopes.
Modern arcade. Yeah. See, all I can picture are like the new modern arcades where like kind of feels like an old arcade, but everything is over the top and over and unnecessarily mm-hmm. big and gaudy and doesn't. I mean, maybe I'm just because I'm like out of the age bracket. So maybe it's just not my thing, but yeah, like, I don't know. It just feels like it's got concepts of fun, but it's not actually fun.
I agree.
Well, it almost sounds, they say challenge rooms, but part of me wonders if it's almost like a Disney version of an escape.
It sounds more to me like an escape room type theme.
Yeah. Okay. Here's the Disney Springs website official description. Mm-hmm. Again, always take them with a grain mm-hmm. of salt. Gather your group for the day of fun at a place designed to test your skills. Work together to conquer the challenge rooms, earn rewards, and climb the coveted leaderboard. From solving mysteries in an ancient temple to walking a pirate's plank to beating a giant pinball game, there is something to discover behind every door. Your team will only have 1 to 4 minutes to beat each challenge, so be prepared to act quick. It's a little friendly competition. If a little friendly competition is more your style, blah, 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 that mm-hmm. doesn't matter. So apparently there are these themed, like, it's going to be like 3 to 4 minute escape mm-hmm. rooms is what it sounds like.
I probably won't go to it.
Oh, no, I don't have nothing the energy for that. I
mean, yeah.
Maybe if I was still in college, I'd say, okay, let's go try this.
Yeah.
But
not as a full-blown adult.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
No.
Mm-mm. And even the West Side doesn't even look like the West Side anymore.
I don't really go to the West Side too often because
the only reason I want to go to the West Side now is because they took away my Star Wars training post in the marketplace.
Oh, because they do have that.
The only one left is in the West Side.
They do have that Star Wars store. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's worse than the one that we had. I'm annoyed now.
This just really
it's
really went off the rails with
it did.
With complaints.
Yeah. We turned our anniversary episode into a rant episode.
That's fair, though. 6 years of doing this, we can complain.
Exactly. There's seniority in there.
Complaining since year one.
Oh, yeah. Now, you've been ranting good today, Ashley. I've enjoyed your ranting today.
Oh, thank you. I learned from the best.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Oh, goodness gracious. Okay, that's all I got. Yeah. I got to save some of my energy for the other episode.
But yeah, I don't have anything else clearly to add. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, Pixie Dusters, I hope you enjoyed our anniversary / rant episode. Mm-hmm. Let us know on our socials what your favorite episode is that you listen to, or if there's something we haven't talked about yet that you would like us to answer, whether it's Disney related, like Disney World or mm-hmm. something media wise, we'd love to hear your suggestions. For sure. We haven't figured out 2027 yet because we never do until, you know, last minute. Mm-hmm. But don't ask us Disneyland. We know nothing.
Yeah. Sorry.
We know nothing. Mm-hmm. That's another thing we can bring
castle,
back to
that's all I know.
Patrick.
I know. We had that whole bit.
That's another thing we could bring Patrick and Crystal on because they go to Disneyland all the time.
We could bring them over here.
A huge Disneyland fan.
We could bring them over here to talk to us about that.
Yeah, why not?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I don't know who these people are, but why not?
You met them.
You met Patrick
at the wedding.
Well, who's Patrick? Which one? Remind me.
He was at the wedding. He was the bigger. He was the bigger groomsman. You would know him.
I would know him if I saw him. I can't place him. I can't.
I'll show you who.
And his wife is like love, just awesome. Love her. She got the cool tattoo, like right here.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. She has the. It's the. Zelda hearts.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know how Zelda, the original Zelda game, has like hearts for your lives.
Yes.
Okay. She has that tattooed on her chest. It's really cool.
I played Zelda for the first time 4 years ago, so I'm like,
are you?
Oh, I didn't grow up. We were a Mario household. Okay,
I was too. We were a Mario and Zelda household.
Nah, we never did the Zelda thing.
And Pokemon, Mario, Zelda, and Pokemon.
That's fair. Mm. Yeah,
I had a lot nerdier childhood than I think than I realized. You sometimes. Really
did. Apparently. Yeah. For me, it was Mario, Donkey Kong, and Primal Rage. Those are my games. So.
Mm. Travis played other games, but
yeah,
I was Zelda, and Pokemon, and Mario. Mm-hmm. But anywho, again, got derailed like I normally do. Pixie Dusters, join us next week. We'll be on week 2 of Star Wars by the time you see this episode, because last week we talked about Dave Filoni, mm-hmm. the new CEO. Next week we are doing Star Wars. Actually, this is the name I came up with it: Star Hot Take Wars. And I'm not going to tell you what it is, how I'm doing it, but it's going to be a lot of fun. Okay. More ranting, actually.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Bye, Pixie Dusters.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is part of Limitless Broadcasting Network. Check out our website for information about the hosts, merch, and all of our podcasts. Production for today's episode was handled by the Dream Team, Ashley Danny and Sammy Brooksby. A final special thanks to Dan. His discerning perspective is the secret ingredient that helps us see the bigger picture.
Calling all you horror enthusiasts. If you are brave enough, we dare you to listen to our horror podcast, You Can't Kill the Boogeyman Podcast, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by Limitless Broadcasting Network. This show is available wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, everyone is entitled to one good scare. Don't forget to subscribe to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com.
I'm Albert Parker, and I'm excited to introduce my new podcast series, Hollywood Hustle, available exclusively on the Limitless Broadcasting Network. But first, let me ask you, are you into entertainment? Movies, TV shows, theatrical releases? If you said yes, then you're going to love what we have in store. Hollywood Hustle, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by Limitless Broadcasting Network, is a unique blend of business insights, news, and entertainment. In this series, we delve into the financial underpinnings and business deals that keep Hollywood thriving. Want to understand who really runs Hollywood? Follow the money with us. We'll explore intriguing topics like the rise of the 60-second microdrama and the recent cancellation of Jimmy Kimmel Live, dissecting the business decisions behind these events. Plus, we'll tackle the current struggles of Hollywood films at the box office and what that means for the economics of the industry. If any of this piques your interest, don't miss out. Subscribe to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com for early access to episodes, all ad-free. I'm Albert Parker from 1950 Studios and Limitless Broadcasting Network, and I invite you to tune in and subscribe to Hollywood Hustle now.